Proverbs chapter 15. This past week, and really for probably the last 3 or 4 days, I've really been seeking the Lord on an understanding of what the Bible calls the way of Balaam, and try to understand the nuances and exactly what does that mean and how does that work itself out. And today, this morning, as I was thinking about the way of Balaam and reading some of the things there in the book of Numbers, a thought entered my mind that led me to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. And the thought that entered into my mind was this, that before honor comes humility. And of course, Balaam desired honor, didn't he? And Balak said that he would give him great honor if he would come and curse the nation of Israel. And so Proverbs 15:33 in its whole says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. There is an honor in the world that seems right in our own eyes. We're really, according to our sinful nature, we're kind of wired to think that way and to respond that way when the world offers us such honor. It's an honor that seems right in our own eyes. It's an honor that registers with the world. In other words, there is an honor that the world would agree that if you were pursuing this honor, they would pat you on the back. They would encourage you. And in fact, even within Bible-believing churches, there would be people not understanding this truth here. And it's a very simple truth, isn't it? Before honor comes humility. It's a very simple truth. But there would even be people in the house of the Lord that would really encourage one another in the honor that comes from the world rather than the honor that comes from God. And that's what this honor is talking about. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. This is an honor that can only come from the Lord. And I want to say this very dogmatically, but I think we all would, if I put it on a test, everybody would get it right. But the Lord's bestowing of honor is a very good gift. Would you agree with that? In other words, for the Lord to honor you, that would be the highest of high type of honor. The Lord's honor, in contrast to the world, edifies and builds up. The Lord's honor is what I would call non-destructive, whereas the honor that comes from the world is both destroying and destructive at the same time. And yet we have a tendency to really love that honor that doesn't come from God. The world's honor is an honor that promotes, and I'm going to use this word, self-confidence. The world's honor is something that promotes self-assurance. And you'll notice in both of those words, what's the common prefix? Self. In other words, the honor that's from God is about humility. The honor that comes from the world is about self-confidence and self-assurance. It is this idea that in order to succeed, as some have put it, you must believe in yourself. Not believe in Christ, but to believe in who? Yourself. It's all about self. Self-assurance, self-confidence, self-help. That's the honor that the world loves to bestow on people. Why? because it builds something inside of you that is destructive. What is it? Pride. I think it's safe to say, both in my life and in the congregations that I have pastored, very little warning comes against this sin of pride. A lot of other sins are spoken about. But the sin of pride, sometimes it's even encouraged, even within Bible-believing circles, to build up people in their pride. But I want to say very emphatically that the honor that comes from the Lord will never fuel the light of pride. Never. Why is that? Because before honor is humility. Humility is the very opposite of pride, is it not? A person who is humble is a person who lacks self-confidence and enjoys a growing confidence in the Lord. A person that is growing in humility, in some cases, lacks self-assurance. But they have great assurance in the Lord and His promises. And that really is the process of growth, is it not? My wife and I brought it up. She didn't know what I was teaching on the night, but she brought it up and talked about how 20 years ago, things that she's working on today would have never even entered her mind that they were wrong or even sinful. But now, here's where she's working at, and it is humbling. Because to do every one of those things she has learned demands the Lord's intervention in our lives. So everybody see where I'm coming from. There is an honor that is from the world. What does it build? Pride, self-assurance, and self-confidence. And there's an honor that comes from God, and it doesn't build that. It builds something that is more lasting than the world's pride. The honor of the world in general is what men seek. The honor of the Lord in general is what men avoid. Men hide from the gift of humility. It is repugnant to their smell. It is repulsive to their sight. It's exactly what Isaiah 53 talks about. There was no comeliness or beauty that we would desire Him, Christ. They would much rather have what the devil tempted Christ with. The glories of this world. Position. Reputation. People looking up to you, people thinking that you have the answers. There really is a danger point with those kinds of things, are there not? And so what I want to look at tonight are three words of wisdom. Three words of wisdom. And the first word, it's actually more than one word, but the first word is Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Now, brethren, we know, do we not, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We've heard that, we've quoted that, we know that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says that. We also know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 makes the very same statement. But what this passage speaks to us about is this, that the fear of the Lord is the instruction that comes from true wisdom. Everybody see that? The fear of the Lord is the instruction for what? Wisdom. When wisdom speaks and instructs, what is built in our souls is the fear of the Lord. We're truly understanding that wisdom, if we're truly growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And brethren, if what we're getting out of our Bibles is merely facts and knowledge, and there is no growing fear of the Lord in our soul, we're missing the point of the passage. The passages that we claim that we know are not really living inside of us. The Bible is not going to promote your pride. Right? The Bible's not going to promote your self-confidence. The Bible's not going to promote your self-assurance. But what the Bible will do, and it happens gradually, thank the Lord for this, it will develop in you a growing fear of the Lord that will bring you low before the Lord. And will bring you low in your own eyes, and will make Him high in your eyes. That is the process. And you've heard this cliche before. The way up is down when it comes to the things of the Lord. Wisdom, not only is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of the Lord is also the instruction of wisdom. Also, we note in that verse that before honor comes humility. And I take this to mean that it is the honor of wisdom and its understanding is the honor in this particular context that the Lord has given. Why? Because it's parallel to the first half of the verse. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. Parallel to that, before honor comes humility. Okay, so if that's true, then the honor that comes to us, that is God's divine wisdom and its divine understanding, brings us to that place where we humble ourselves before the Lord. That is the fear of the Lord. So folks, when we approach our Bibles, when we open our Bibles every morning, and we begin to read, or we begin to study, and we approach the Lord in prayer, we must begin by approaching Him in humility, which is an outgrowth of the fear of the Lord. If we would do that, when we approach God, what God will give us is more wisdom. He will give us more understanding. And isn't that what we want? We want His wisdom. We want His knowledge, because to know Him is life. To know mere facts in our pride does nothing for us. But it is this humility. And like I said, it is this type of humility that the world resists. God gives wisdom to the humble. And we really ought to meditate on that and think about that. And growth in wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And folks, this is said also in our New Testament. In James chapter 1, verse 21, He says to us, listen to what He says, in humility receive the word implanted. James 1:21. In humility Everybody hear that word. In humility, receive the word implanted. What's the opposite of humility? Well, you'll find it out that out in James 4. You'll find it out right before James chapter 1, verse 21, when he says, the anger of God. We're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Where does anger come from? Well, only by pride comes contention. See, there is an unrighteous anger, isn't there? And it is anger that flows out of our pride. And you remember in James 4, they were having fighting and bickering back and forth. And they had not because they didn't what? They didn't ask. And then they asked, but God didn't give it to them. Why? Because it was all about them. They wanted to consume it on their own lust. That's not humility. So James says to us exactly what Proverbs here is saying. In humility, receive the word implanted. And in James chapter 4 and verse 10, he says this. Listen to this passage. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's honor, right? Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So what we have here, brethren, is this. We have a truth that here in Proverbs 15:33 probably is referring to wisdom and understanding as being the honor. But we have a truth that is always true with God. Humility comes before honor. Humility comes before exaltation. Humble ourselves when we receive His Word. It all begins with our spirit being what before Him? Humbled before Him. And of course, humble definitely lets us know that we have need. A prideful person, one who is self-assertive, self-confident, self-assured, they don't pray much, and they don't pray much during the day. Why? Why? There's no need to pray. They don't have any needs. A humble person, they know they have needs. And only the Lord can do this for them. Everybody see the difference there? Okay. There's a second passage in Proverbs, and I'm just confining myself here to Proverbs, that deals with humility going before honor, and that's chapter 18 and verse 12. This passage is a passage that can really strike fear in your soul, but it says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before what? Honor. James says in James 4 and verse 6, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. But what I want to see here is this. God is opposed to what kind of people? Prideful people. Would that be true even in a believer's life, that God would be opposed to that pride? The answer to that is what?
Yes.
God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the humble person knows they need grace. And folks, I want to remind you that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, he says this. He quotes Isaiah and says, I, that is God, will destroy the wisdom of the wise. God is actively destroying man's prideful wisdom. And he will destroy it. And ultimately, he will eradicate it to where it will be remembered no more. And who inherits the earth? The meek, the humble of heart inherit the earth. 1 Corinthians 1:19, I'll finish it. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. And of course, he showed that at Calvary. Human beings do not count it wise to be weak. They despise weak things. They despise the poor. Who do they honor? Who do they exalt in the world? The rich, the powerful people, right? The strong people. You'll never see anyone being celebrated at a sports event for being last. Who gets celebrated? The stronger one, right? Folks, at Calvary, God took human weakness and showed His strength in His Son. And it was a marvelous, glorious display of strength in Jesus Christ. I can't even handle in my own life the guilt of the few sins I'm aware of. How about you? What if you had all the sin of all the world laid on you? Would you agree with me that it would take strength? It would take the power of God. And God took something foolish like that, of whom the Jews, that's a stumbling block, and the Greeks, that's foolishness. You just hear man's pride, right? Foolishness. Stumbling block. Can't be. God would never do that. That's exactly what God did. And brethren, this really is our ultimate danger. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Pride, growing in pride, feeding one's pride, listening to the world fill your pride, listening to religious false teachers who are, quote, motivational speakers that feeds people pride, it is setting people up to be destroyed. And brethren, we don't want to be destroyed, amen? Self-confidence blinds people. Believing in yourself ultimately will bring destruction. The only lasting honor comes from above. And this is exactly what Romans chapter 2 says when it says there's two groups of people. And one group is seeking the honor that is from God. Glory. Life. Right? And there is another group that is not seeking that glory that will be destroyed. My brethren, there is nothing more valuable than the honor of Christ. That's what Paul lived for, didn't he? I'm striving for this one thing. It's my ambition that I would be well pleasing to Him. Not to gain salvation, but because He was saved. He wanted to grow in His likeness to Christ. And did He? He did. And so should we. Folks, it is not a good thing for you to enjoy temporal, short-term success while your heart grows in haughtiness. And I want to just at this point repeat what James says. If pride and contention and division and anger is in your heart, do not lie against that. But weep. Mourn. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to who? The humble. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and have His honor in your life. I desire, and the Lord desires, no one in the hearing of my voice that 30 years from now will be destroyed because they grew slowly and surely, step by step, away from humility toward haughtiness. And if you don't think that happens, you just think back in your pilgrim life and think about people who used to be this for the Lord and that for the Lord, and you look at their lives now, and some of them are no longer on the face of this earth. Pride is an awful thing, isn't it? It is the sin of Satan. And then lastly, in Proverbs chapter 22, in verse 4, this third word, the first word is, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor is humility. The second word is, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. And the last word from the book of wisdom, Proverbs 22 and verse 4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. That's a great passage, isn't it? You got an exhortation, you have a warning, and you have a reward. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Now, you should not immediately in your mind think materially. Now, can God give us riches? Yes or no?
Yes.
Can you be a humble, walking with the Lord man and have wealth? Answer to that is?
Yes,
it has its dangers, but need I remind you that Abraham was quite a wealthy man, wasn't he? Can you have position in this life and be a believer, humble, walking with the Lord? The answer to that is what? Yes, and there are dangers with position. And folks, can God give you a good life here on this earth? He can do that, can He? But there's a danger with that. You can read Deuteronomy 6 to see that danger. But I think here He's more speaking future. I've already made mention to you that it is those who fear the Lord who speak often to one another in Malachi. It is the humble, the poor in spirit, as the King James would have it, that inherits the earth. It is the humble of which Isaiah says that the God of glory, the Almighty God, the Most High, pleases to dwell with those of a contrite spirit. Folks, think about the riches that are in that heavenly Jerusalem. Would you consider that city a wealthy city? Well, it has God, right? That's one wealth. But that city has pearls for its gate, gold for its streets. That's a sign of what? Wealth. There is a riches and a wealth that is there materially in the future for those who walk humbly before Christ. There is the riches of the knowledge of Christ, is there not? Of which Paul gave all up for the excellency of that knowledge. He said he's commissioned to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, never ending. There is also honor in that place. The wicked will be in the lake of fire that burns forever. And the saved, the humble, will be with the Lord forever. Folks, God's throne is on high, is it not? And Paul writes, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What do you think about that honor? That's above all. The Bible says that God's people will reign. That is a position that there is nothing higher than to be seated with the Son of God on His throne. I think that's great riches and great honor. But what about this? What about that life? We know it as everlasting life. We know it as eternal life. We know it as the life of Christ. We know it as the third member of the Godhead, the Holy what? The Holy Spirit. Folks, can you imagine that life? No sin, no lack, no need. But it still will be a world of love and humility forever and ever. Wouldn't you love to live in a nation and in a community and in a state and in a neighborhood where everybody was humble? Would that not be refreshing? Three words. And I want to give one last, and I'll read it. I'll read it, and then I'll give you the address. See if you hear, before honor is humility. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a... For this reason, he humbled himself, became obedient, even unto death, to the death of the cross. For that reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Before honor is what? Humility. Was that true with God's own Son? And brethren, if we want that honor, if we want to be rewarded in that day, we too must develop in our spirit. And it will take the Lord and buckets full of instruction from the Bible for this to happen. To develop a meek and humble spirit before Him. The world will not register with that. The world will laugh at you. But guess who's going to have the last laugh, as it were? The humble. So let's go to our Lord in prayer.